Chance to visit with our friend Alex Ferrario. He handles Blues pre- and post-game here when the Blues are playing on 101 ESPN. And by the way, tonight we have Behind the Bench brought to you by Boardwalk Hardwood Floors. Alex is with us as the Blues announced that they have signed Sammy Blay to a two-year contract extension with an AAV of $1.5 million a year. Alex, thanks for taking some time. And obviously the Blues staying in business here even though there is no hockey.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, guys. It's great to hop on with you, and I'll have to shoot Doug Armstrong a text and thank him for announcing that deal right around the time that I hop on with you guys.
It's perfect, man. It's a beautiful thing, and a very manageable salary there at $1.5 million a year. So you see a two-year deal for Blay. I mean, what are your first thoughts?
I'm not surprised by it. I mean, he was going to be a restricted free agent, and when you look at the upcoming offseason for the Blues, we all know the big name is Alex Pietrangelo. But other than that, you know, Vince Dunn was going to be a restricted free agent, Marco Scandella an unrestricted free agent, and then you had a Sammy Blay, and you were going to find a way to work out a deal because that's been Doug Armstrong's mantra over these last couple of years for this team, finding ways to get great deals on depth, and I think that's what Sammy Blay is. I mean, look, at the end of the day, is he a top six winger right now? Probably not. I mean, his NHL career has suffered from injuries if you look back at last year and then, of course, this season. But this season, I think, was a step forward for Sammy Blay in terms of when he was healthy, he was contributing. He was kind of a plug-and-play guy. He was at the top line with Shannon Schwartz when Tarasenko went down, and he was contributing with some offense. He's played on the fourth line, can be that energy role that Craig Berube desperately needs playing on that line. So I think he's a plug-and-play kind of guy for this team, and when you think about $1.5 million for 2 years, that's a pretty darn good deal for a guy like Sammy Blay. Now, many are going to argue that say that might be a little too much for Sammy Blay, but at the end of the day, $1.5 million, I think, is something that can play in a first, second, third, or fourth line role for this team.
Well, what do you think the challenges are, or what do you think changes? Maybe that's a better way to ask it, with the environment we're in now, not really knowing if they're going to finish up this season, and then for next year, not really knowing exactly how the cap is going to be affected.
I think I'm intrigued by the deal because I'm intrigued of what Doug Armstrong and company are thinking right now, because we talked about this last night on This Week in Hockey, and I know you guys have talked about it as well. You're potentially looking at a salary cap cut for next season in the NHL if they play this season or if they don't play this season. And, you know, before this pandemic took over, we were talking about a bump in the salary cap, looking at $84, $86 million. I think you're potentially looking at dropping it by a couple million dollars. So I think this causes some uncertainty for the Blues in terms of, okay, well, now what are we going to do with our salary cap situation? You might be looking at an area where, you know, the NHL allows maybe one salary relief per team so that they can kind of adjust their salary cap because, you know, if they do cut the salary cap, I mean, you're looking at some teams that might already be over the cap like a Toronto Maple Leafs or a Chicago Blackhawks. So with this Blues deal of Sammy Blay, I don't think it really is detrimental to what Doug Armstrong is doing with his team, because when you think about it, Jay Bouwmeester essentially looks to be retiring, so that money kind of cancels itself out with Sammy Blay's money. But I think this does kind of bring up the question of, okay, if there's no season, or even if there is a season, it's going to look drastically different next year. What does that mean for Alex Pietrangelo? And I don't know if that question's ever going to go away until we find out what happens with number 27.
One thing the Blues have in abundance is young forwards with size. Blay, in addition to guys like Oscar Sundquist and Zach Sanford, Jacob De La Rose is still a young guy, and he's a 6'3", 215-pounder. The players that the Blues have and are keeping around are absolute fits for what Craig Berube wants.
Yeah, there's no question, Randy. And when you look at what they have already, so hypothetically saying if there's no season, that let this year, you look at next year. You know Vladimir Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn and Ryan O'Reilly are on your roster next year. So that's four players right there that are in your top six. Then you add in a Robert Thomas. That's a fifth player. Alexander Steen's contract is going to be there. You have one more year of Tyler Bozak. So you have your top six, if not one or two players on your top nine already there. But then that's where the internal competition lies, and I think that's the most important factor of what this contract signing is for Sammy Blay and what Doug Armstrong is already doing. You just mentioned the names. Oscar Sundquist is a big-bodied player who can play anywhere for the Blues. Zach Sanford was having a career year this season before it got postponed in terms of goals. Was he hitting his potential? Then there's the Sammy Blay aspect. And to me, if Sammy Blay can stay healthy, I think Sammy Blay can be a Pat Maroon type of player. Not so much of the intangibles that he has off the ice or the chirping on the ice, and I don't know if I've never had Sammy Blay chirp at me before, but he's a big body, he's a guy who goes to the net, and he's a guy who's not afraid to get physical if he needs to. So I think that provides internal competition moving into next season when you think of the three names that you just mentioned, Randy, on top of it with a Jordan Kyrou, on top of it with an Ivan Barbashev. Get a lot of guys who are going to be pining for four or five positions, which Craig Berube has found to show that, well, that usually creates better hockey play from those players when there's competition.
Hey, Alex, hard to get in the mind of a player, and each one of them is different, but do you have a sense, maybe it's from talking to guys or just, you know, talking to people who have talked to people, do you get a sense that there's any sort of an urgency when it comes to the players as far as, like, workouts and stuff go right now? Because I would think, like, right off the bat when things were canceled, guys were still probably trying to hit it as hard as possible. Hey, I'm staying as ready. And now as, like, time goes on, I feel like that human nature would set in, like, maybe this is going to be a while. Maybe we can back off. I mean, have you heard about how any players are keeping themselves ready?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, BT. We just talked to Zach Sanford last night about this on This Week in Hockey, and you know, we asked him what this training is, not just physically, but mentally. And Zach said, he's like, look, it's a little uncharted territory for us. He said, for me, you know, I have a workout plan that the training staff has provided me, but those opportunities really aren't there. But in Zach Sanford's mind, and he kind of alluded to it, saying that, hey, right now it's not looking like there's going to be a season. Jordan Binnington, who did that video chat with Joe Buck and with John Hamm on the Blues website, said the same thing. He said, right now I'm treating it as an off season to where I'm doing my workouts, but I'm also kind of taking the weekends off, because I think in the back of the mind, I don't think that urgency is there anymore for the players because they know it seems unrealistic and the conversations aren't there. But on top of that, it's the opportunities and I guess the items aren't available to some of these guys so that they can stay up to hockey shape. You know, they're not being able to get on ice anywhere. Gyms are unavailable, and a lot of these guys that Doug Armstrong and Craig Berube pointed out don't even have gyms to go to. Like, they don't have workout equipment at their apartments or anything like that. So a lot of this is kind of variable case-by-case situation. But what's really interesting is Craig Berube, Rod Brind'Amour, and Rick Tocchet, all three coaches in the NHL, obviously, they did a group conversation about 4 or 5 days ago, and two of those three said that they're treating right now as the off season, where we're checking in with players, we're doing the exit interviews, and the players are just kind of treating it as an off season as well. So I think the hope is still there, but in the players' minds, at least from the some that I've talked to and heard from, they're training, but it's not so much of like an in-season keep up the method training.
Alex, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, great catching up, and I love the cartoon character draft.
And you, who's your number one overall, Alex?
I thought BT was the best, but that's just personally.
No, he means what's your number one pick?
Yeah, we all knew that part.
What's my number one pick? Yeah. Genie from Aladdin is my number one pick.
Wow, that's a strong.
Interesting.
That's a strong pick.
And it's Robin Williams because, yeah, you know, obviously the live action's Will Smith, but you can't go wrong. Possibly one of the best cartoon characters ever, and Robin Williams is the genie.
Pretty strong. Okay. Good choice. Thank you, Alex. Alex, yep. Ferrario with us on 101 ESPN. We will be back with a little game of Would You Rather. Get your text in to the Home Loan Expert text, or the, why did I call it that? That's so old. It's the Air Comfort Service text line, 65780, next on 101 ESPN.